Well, I've been already greatly moved by this morning. We started off with Dave's testimony, the worship, wonderful time of worship this morning, and then hearing these testimonies. And I actually said, Lord, do you want me to preach? And he said, yes, because I want my people to grow in understanding about the power of prayer. So I'm going to be speaking on prayer this morning, because everything that happened throughout this process that we've heard, and Dave and Shirley's miracle, happened as a result of prayer. And so unless we pray, we won't see the results. So if you turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15, but if you look in your Bible too, if you want to, you can look there, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Wonderful words. The Word of God says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we have asked for, isn't that of Him. Isn't that amazing? We know that we've had. Now, this morning I'd like to really call this message a recipe for answered prayer. Now, I'm calling it a recipe because we've got cupcakes after the meeting, which some of you have had to apply a recipe to make a cupcake. And sometimes I think we just need to look at the ingredients of prayer that makes successful prayers. So the Word of God gives us that recipe, if you like, so that we can know exactly how prayer works. And Jesus actually said, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And one of the things that the devil attacks most of all is prayer and our faith in the power of prayer. In just a few verses later, the scripture goes on to say, in verse 19 of 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world, the scripture says, is under the control of the evil one. And so if I say to you, it's not heresy to say this, that God is not running this world. Did you hear that? God is not running this world. The Bible says the whole world is under the influence or the control of the evil one. The Lord is supreme. He rules over all. But in the beginning, He created Adam in His image, and He gave Adam and Eve dominion over all the works of His hand. He gave Adam the rulership over the works of His hand. Now, Adam got it wrong. He sinned. We all got it wrong. We all sinned. Jesus came and paid the price for our sin so that we could be born again and taken out from under the control of the evil one and put under the power and dominion of our King, Jesus Christ, and in the kingdom of heaven. And so we are not under the control of the evil one. But anyone who is not a believer in Christ Jesus is under the power of the enemy. But you've been taken out of the dominion of the evil one. Isn't that something worth celebrating? But God is not running the world. He's running the church. And the church, He has given the authority to pray and bring His kingdom into the earth. We're supposed to be changing everything. You know, that's our mandate. We're here to change the world. And everything in the kingdom runs on prayer. And so you won't be a successful Christian if you're not a prayer, somebody who prays, because you won't see the power of heaven advance and the devil retreat. Okay, so some Christians say, why is God allowing such and such and such and such? God is not running the world. The church is running things. That's why we rebuke the devil. That's why we ask and receive from Jesus. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. And it's important that we don't blame God for what the devil's doing. Because God is good, and everything he does is good. Go on, say it. God is good, and everything he does is good. And the devil's come to steal. He's bad. And everything he does is bad. So this kingdom, through Jesus, that we're in this kingdom, is not a democracy. We have a king. It's a sovereignty. We have a king. And this is the king's word. And the king's word actually has authority in every realm when it's believed and spoken through God's people. So we have the word of God. And in this kingdom, all the needs are met through this king, because he's a good king. And the supplies come through prayer. The supply of grace, the supply of vision, the supply of miracles for your family, or miracles for you personally. Everything is activated through prayer. And so this is the recipe. If we go back to 1 John 5, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything. So number one, we must ask something. We've got to, if we're going to be effective and make prayer work, we better be asking for something. And this says, if you ask anything. Well, there was a guy who came to Jesus. His name was Bartimaeus. And everybody knew that Bartimaeus was blind. And he cried out to Jesus, 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 Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped where he was going and came back, because the Lord always responds. And he's standing before Bartimaeus and he said, what do you want me to do? In other words, what are you going to ask me to do? Now, you'd think, because he knows everything, Jesus already knew what the problem was. But Jesus has given us the authority to ask. He wants us to decide and to define what it is we're asking. And to say it to him. I want to see, Bartimaeus said. I want to see. Now that's how, whether you're 3-year-olds or 80, you can say, I want to see. So prayer is easy. Because we can ask anything from him. We can decide and define. You see, many Christians don't stick to what they have decided they want from God. And they're moved into two minds all the time. And if you're double-minded, you can't receive anything from God. You've got to have a single mind. What are you asking about your kids? What is it you want me to do, Jesus is saying. So that's number one. We need to ask something defined. Very important that. Because if you carry on saying help, the Lord says, what do you want me to do? And so then we come back into the specific prayer. This is what I am asking you, Father, to work in my situation. Secondly, according to his will. This is what the recipe says. If we ask anything, according to his will. Now his will is the king's word. And we have it written, the scriptures, the word of God. And in the scriptures, there are so many promises. There's a promise for every day of the year, for every different eventuality. There's a promise for your health, your relationships. There's a promise for mental health. There's a promise for prosperity. There's a promise for your children, your grandchildren. There's promises for the church, for the nation, for the world. There are promises. But you've got to get into the word to know the ingredient to go in. If we ask anything according to his will, and praying God's word or God's promises is the most accurate prayer you could ever pray. Because God's word is perfect. So praying the word or the promise is a perfect prayer. So when you pray the promise, it's a perfect prayer. What an ingredient. See, our ingredients in this recipe are vital for us to come out with the results. So the ingredient is the word of God, the promises of God. Now, if I was using my mobile phone and I kind of picked up a number from somebody and written it down on a piece of paper, but if I'd misheard what that number was and I try and contact this person, dial up the number, I only have to miss one digit to actually not get through. And sometimes there are a lot of Christians missing a digit in their prayer life and they're not getting through because it's the wrong number. It's the wrong prayer. And God wants you to have answered prayer. He wants to fill this world because you've prayed it. And you've got answers not just for you, but for everybody you work for businesses, for Taunton, for the Southwest, for families and children. God wants to answer prayer. But we got to get the right numbers, the digits. Don't get one wrong. It won't work. Have you ever kind of complained? Their phone must be broken. In other words, God's not listening. I've prayed. Well, maybe we better get back to what are we putting into the prayer? Praying the word of God. Never go far from the word. Pastor Michael brought it. June spoke about scriptures. The scripture was prayed when Dave had that deliverance this week. The scriptures. Pray the word. It will not return empty. It will be heard. Because it's the word of God that is unfailing. Jesus prayed for everything. He prayed for the right staff. He prayed for his disciples, didn't he? He spent all night in prayer, saying, I better hear God to know who God's called to be with me because I've got such an important mission, I better get the right material. Jesus prayed for Lazarus. He prayed that miracle to raise the dead before Lazarus was raised. Jesus even prayed to choose Judas. Isn't that incredible? It was the will of the Father. Amazing. And actually, Jesus, in his time, I think it was before Pilate, and there was swords, or talk of swords being used, Jesus actually said, "No, put your sword away. Couldn't I pray and ask the Father to send 12 legions of angels and he would answer me?" So Jesus knew there were things at his disposal, as there is with every child of God. 12 legions of angels is a heck of a lot of angels. And there isn't anybody who can destroy it. I mean, one of God's angels can put an entire army to flight. You only need one to see an incredible victory. But Jesus said, it's not my Father's will. Because it's my Father's will to go to the cross. And sometimes the will of God, even though it might be a promise in Scripture, this is where our hearts must be yielded to say, Lord, is this your cross for me? I could buy a Ferrari, example, but it's not right for me. I'm a kingdom person. And I'm going to sow the money into the kingdom and drive a BM. Blessed to be a blessing. But the cross is actually what Jesus was saying. I could be delivered out of the pain of what I'm facing. There are some things that we need to go through, as we heard this morning, that God allows us to go through the fire and to come out refined like gold. And out of that comes a testimony to the praise and honor of Jesus. Amen. But when we pray anything according to his will, you dial up using the promise. He hears it. God hears it. And that means you got through. It isn't engaged. Heaven is never engaged. Have you ever dialed up a number and they're engaged and you go back, they're engaged? Or they might even be off the hook. But heaven is always open for the righteous in Christ's prayers. And God hears when we pray anything according to his will. And this is not hit and miss prayer. It's not the recipe that if you thought you were making a cupcake, you'll get a pizza. This is a specific promise prayed in a particular way that gets the answer. And any one of us can do this effectively. Then number four. We know, because he hears us, we know we have what we ask for. We know we have what we ask for. Now, this means to know is not just I mentally can kind of agree with a promise. To know is actually faith talk. And faith talk says, I have believed this in my heart. And it's something that I know deep down inside that this is what God will do. You can leave this meeting knowing that God is your rock, your fortress, and your deliverer in a very new way. Because you're believing, not just hearing in your mind, but you're accepting that word of promise. We can have faith for anything if we hear God's word on it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we can receive faith for anything because we can hear the word of God. Now, the word of God is designed to bring you to faith when you hear it. When you speak it and pray a promise and declare it over your life, it's designed to actually not stay in your mouth and mind, but to go into the soil of your heart like ground. It's actually designed to enable you to breathe, to believe. So faith comes from hearing. You need to speak it, speak the word, and faith will come. Tell your neighbor, speak the word, and faith will come. Now the word of God is described as a seed. It's one of the ways Jesus described the word. A farmer goes out to sow. And the different kinds of soil affects what happens. And that's our responsibility to take care of our own hearts. Because a good heart will produce. A pure heart will produce. But seed actually means that there is power to produce and increase everything that is sown. So the word of God sown into your heart, which produces faith, also has the power to increase and bring the harvest of what that promise defines. So in other words, you sow the word of God that he is your rock, your fortress, and your deliverer. That will produce a harvest of deliverance and protection. When I was younger, I used to live in Africa, and I once ate a peach. And this peach, I looked at this seed. It's quite a big seed, isn't it, a peach? And I was a child at the time, and I thought, I'd really like to grow a few peaches, because I like peaches. There's a lot of promises I really like too. They're better than peaches. But I really like to grow a few peaches. So I said to my mum, I want to grow this tree. And you know, when you're a child, you think a tree is going to go, posh, like watercress overnight. Like that. Like the Christmas tree. No, that's a false one. But this seed, my mum said, put it on the windowsill and let it dry out. And I left it on the windowsill, and then I kind of forgot that it was there. And then one day I came back and saw this seed. And I said to my mum, oh, you know how you do with your kids. Oh, no. It looks like it's dead. Because seeds dried up do, don't they? And she said, being the wise woman who knows, don't worry about it. It'll still work because there's life inside it. Now, what you need to do is go into the garden, find a nice spot where there's room to grow it, and dig a little bit. So there I am out with my little, you know, play shovel. Not the big ones because it's too big for me. Digging the soil. This is in Africa. The soil was hard. Not much rain. So I'm digging up the soil. She said, you need to put it in the soil, cover it over, and then regularly I want you to keep watering it and making sure no weeds get involved in that space. So I obeyed my mother's instructions, the recipe for seeing a peach tree grow. Because, you know, sometimes we all have these crazy ideas of how we think the kingdom of God works, and we've got to come into God's mind. The kingdom of God works with seed, God's word. And so I just kept going along with my childlike watering can, you know, the baby things, watering this patch of grass, looking at it going, gone off growing peaches. You know how, as children, you can be so impatient. It's the same spiritually. If you're immature, you can be really impatient. But maturity, spiritually speaking, says I'm prepared to wait because I know what's coming. And one day, after weeks and weeks, all my friends didn't even know I planted a peach. They'd play over that bit of ground. But I knew what was in there. They didn't. You see, this is in the unseen, in the ground. That's what faith is. It's in the unseen. It's in your heart. The seed of God's word is in there. And you know what's in the ground. Have you got anything in your ground growing? It's a big question. Is it in your heart? Because if it isn't in your heart, it isn't going to grow. Because I could keep it on the windowsill and just admire it every Sunday. I could look at the windowsill and say, oh, look, what a great word. And you see something, but unless you plant it and put it in the ground, it won't produce the harvest. One day, surprise. Up it popped, a little bit of green. And I knew that even though I thought there was nothing in it, there was life in that seed. Now, God's word is perfect. It always lives. The word of God is living. It's living seed. It's alive. And it carries the power of God. And God says about his word, no word will return empty if it's sown. But it will produce what it has been sown. Nothing will return empty, but it will come back and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. A farmer does not go around hoping for God to do something with his field. A farmer thinks, I need to put something in the ground for there to be results. And so he plants a field of barley. And if you talk to all his friends, he would say, I've got a field of barley over there. He wouldn't say, oh, look at that empty space. There's nothing there. He would say, I've got a field of barley. And he's already planning for harvest. And also I've noticed with farmers, they don't go and dig up the seed for proof. They trust the seed. And one of the things that Pastor Michael said this morning, who are you trusting, the rock or other things? And there is something that is more dependable than everything that this world can offer, and that is God's word, which is seed. It is impossible for this kind of prayer to fail. God is not a liar. He says, if you ask anything according to my will, I hear you, and you can sow it and know it. And have the faith on the inside of your heart, God has said it, I've got a miracle on its way. And you water it with thanks and praise. And a farmer is not walking around dejected because his crop's not producing. Because he knows in due season, I will reap. Are you with me this morning? The recipe for answered prayer. Beloved, God wants to answer your prayers. But we sometimes have to change how we pray. Because this is really simple. A child can do this. And it will produce a harvest. You can have prosperity beyond your job. Because it's a God dimension. You can have a marriage beyond your natural ability, because it's beyond you. Everything can change if somebody's believing it and praying it. Absolutely everything will change. Now, the issue that you and I face, and I'm going to wind up with this, is sometimes that seed is longer in the ground than we want it to be. Have anybody of you asked for prayer according to his will, and you're saying, isn't it time that we saw this happen? Just me. I would imagine everybody, if you're honest, are still in this seeds in the ground, time before harvest. And this is why we must think farming when we're talking about prayer. Because we prayed it and we know that he hears us. And to not give up, we must not give up trusting. Jesus said, everyone always ought to pray and not lose heart. Because in these times when you see nothing, you feel nothing. Has anybody prayed and never felt a thing? When you don't get any evidence of change, don't stop trusting the power of God and his faithfulness, his character, to keep every good promise he's ever given through his word. And Jesus said in his word, all these promises are yes and amen in Christ. So they actually are yours to be harvested in prayer. But don't give up in the delaying time. Sometimes it's because circumstances need to change. And sometimes it's just God bringing all things together and then suddenly things happen. I prayed for something probably about 8 months ago. I received faith and I prayed about something particular in my personal life. I'm not going to tell you what it was. But just on Friday, the harvest came. So that's 8 months in the ground. We're praying for things about us as a church. That God is going to raise an exceedingly great army. We're believing it. The seed is in the ground and it's producing. It's producing, but there's, do you know, we've nations to reach. We've got missions to send. We've got people to train. We've got people to see saved and set free. We've got so much in our future. We've only just beginning to see a part. But in the delay of the total fullness of what God has promised, we need to not throw away our confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord and his word that he promises that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us and we know that we have what we've asked of him. Isn't that amazing? What an incredible promise this morning. Now, I'm going to finish with just, if you could turn to Daniel, I'm going to finish with this and then we'll pray. God is not a man that he should lie. He will never lie, never. He will always do what he says he's going to do. All his promises are unfailing. People fail us. We fail ourselves. Do we not? But God's word and he himself is faithful. And he will do exactly what he said he would do. And we believe it. Just say it over your own heart. I believe God will do exactly what he says he's going to do. Praise God. Daniel chapter 10. This Daniel was an incredible man of God. And there's so much that is relevant in Daniel's life to this generation. But Daniel, he was like setting up the kingdom in a foreign country, in Babylon. And it's like us. God set up the kingdom in a foreign country. We're in the world, but not of it. And we're here to change the world through our prayers. So Daniel is a praying man. Daniel is someone who gets up and prays three times a day. Actually, he's got a disciplined life of prayer. And I recommend to you discipline for your prayer life. Because it doesn't just happen on the run. This kind of knowing we have what we ask for, sowing the word, hearing God and knowing his will, happens out of relationship with God and spending time in the word of God. If you don't have much word in you, you won't see much happen through you. Hello? Okay, so as much as you put in, it's like the farmer, he knows he's got to sow the whole field with seed. May the Lord enable us to sow our whole hearts with the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. So Daniel's a man of prayer, and in chapter 9, we don't need to look there, but Daniel understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, that something was going to happen after 70 years. And he counted up the years, and the years came to 70. So he was reading the scripture, which is when you will really understand God, when you do. And as he was reading, he suddenly saw, now that God said was going to happen in 70 years. So the seed was planted. It took 70 years to grow this plant. Okay, it was in the ground a long time. So it was planted and spoken by Jeremiah and believed. Jeremiah believed that word. But Daniel, he picked it up and believed it. The word was sown into him and he went, I know God wants to do this. Isn't it great when you know what God wants to do through the scriptures? You know what God wants to do. You can be without doubt through the word of God. The enemy tries to throw doubt, but the word of God is what we cling to and we stand on. And so Daniel's prayed. And 21 days later, verse 10, he's in prayer, and verse 10 of chapter 10, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, I tell you, I believe men and women of prayer are highly esteemed in God's eyes. It's not age, it's not gender, it's prayer. A person of prayer. You are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I've now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then the angel continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Remember the recipe? God hears. I don't know if you read which day he heard. What does the scripture say? When is your prayer heard? Day one. God is not deaf. He hasn't got a hearing problem. The day one, he hears. He hears. From the first day, I've come. Your words were heard, and I have come in response. Isn't this incredible? That God is responding to a man's words, and angels are being moved around because a person is praying. Do you want angels to respond? Well, I do. I want all the heavenly dimension of heaven to invade into a situation I'm praying for. So I want a response. This is the response team coming in, church. We've signaled heaven. The dial-up's happened. We're believing it because we got it from the scriptures, and faith comes from hearing the word. And now we're saying, Lord, send in the response team. Now, what happened was, he said, I've come in response to you, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me. Say resisted. So there is resistance to the answer. A spiritual, demonic resistance to answered prayer, church. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. The resistance came from this prince. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. He had to get back up. This guy, this angel needed backup. Isn't it great that angels need backup? And then there's this war going on. Because as soon as you start praying, the battle starts. Tell your neighbor, as soon as you start praying, the battle starts. He said that Michael's come up to back me up. He's come to help because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And basically he said, I've come in response to your words. Now, this is amazing. We have to understand the enemy doesn't want us to pray, number one. And once we've prayed, he wants us to pray and then doubt and distrust the promise. The eternal, unchanging, impossible to fail word of God. He wants us to doubt the word. He wants us to then start to kind of dig up the seed and say, well, I can't feel anything yet. I can't see anything. There's no evidence yet. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, Daniel was still hanging on praying for this answer, even though heaven heard it on the first day. He is keeping on confessing, Lord, your word says that you have said this is what is going to come to pass. And I'm believing it and speaking it. You're not a God that you should lie. This is what's going to happen. And because he kept on praying and didn't give up, the victory came. The battle was won in the heavenlies. And the angel came through. Don't you think that's cool? But how many times have you and I been tempted to give up? Or to just cast away that confidence in the promise? And say, well, it hasn't happened for me yet. But God says, believe. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you will have them. It's a product of harvest. Seed time and harvest. Now, what about angels? Just briefly. Angels. If you're born again, Hebrews tells us that angels have been given to the heirs of salvation as ministering spirits. So in this room is filled with angels. You have at least one, probably two. I don't know if you can see mine. I can't yet. But they are here. And angels are on assignment to bring about what God wills and his word into your experience. But the most important thing about angels is Read Psalm 103. Just turn there and we'll finish with this. Recipe for answered prayer. Have you got understanding of the spirit realm? You understand demons resist, which is why you mustn't give up. Psalm 103 and verse 20. And actually, the New King James and the Amplified are better translations. So I'm going to add a little bit to this from those translations. Verse 20. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding. In other words, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. And actually that word, to do his will, means to hearken to the voice of his word. Just tell somebody, because it's Christmassy, hearken. Say, hearken to the voice of his word. So, angels, your angels, we don't pray to angels, by the way. Please never pray to an angel, you'll be disappointed. We pray to God, our Father. Let your will be done, let your kingdom come. We pray according to his will, but we pray his word, his promise. The angels hearken to the voice of his word. Where is the voice of God's word? Pastor Andrea got it right. It comes from you. Because it's voice. You're giving voice on earth to the word of God. And the angels listen to this and obey. In other words, they are activated and released when you pray the word believing. And they, you remember when the early church were praying for Peter, who was in prison? They were praying constantly in prayer, a bit like Daniel, stuck in there to pray until they saw it. They kept going. Peter gets this angel come to him. He's stuck between shut soldiers. He's chained. The angel just poof, poof, because your angel can do poof, poof. They can break off chains. They can liberate you from prisons. They can bring you out into freedom. He walked out of that prison. The gates opened for him. And Peter knocks on the door of the prayer meeting. You know what the prayer meeting were doing? God, deliver Peter. Peter's delivered. God, deliver Peter. He's already at the door. All the way through the book of Acts, angels, 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 angels. Everywhere you see praying people, you'll see a release of angels. But when we pray according to the recipe, not according to the problem, or the feelings, or the grumpiness, stop complaining and pray the word. Fill your mouth with the word of God. Get your angels released. They're on assignment to minister to the heirs of salvation. Prayer is powerful. It breaks chains. It looses situations. It brings freedom. It brings health, healing. Oh, all the good things of the kingdom are released through prayer. Take the recipe. Don't deviate. There are some amazing cupcakes to be judged in a moment by Pastor Michael and June. And to be eaten, more importantly. But, look, I'm so glad that I can trust at least the people in the church not to put some, I don't know, I nearly said laxative, but, you know. But you know something that's not going to do us good. It's not going to do us good. And you walk, I'm just going to go for it. Oh, that looks nice. Chum. We must trust God above all. That everything he says that is only good. Only good. You know, you get loads of religious people who say, well, God isn't that. They get angry with God. If you're angry with God, you need to come back. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. You never mess up. It must have been me. be a humble believer and say, Lord, every word you say is true. And if I pray this and believe that I receive it, like that peach, I sow the word and I live in the unseen and walk by faith, thanking God. It's like, finish with this. Prayer is like a W. I'll do it your way around, backwards for me. Starts with God. His word. You, down here, pray it. Back it goes to God. He releases angels and the miracle. And praise goes to him. Amen. Let's stand.